Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel is a very simple lesson, a beautiful lesson in Jesus' kindness, goodwill, and power. And it's a lesson of faith in that kindness, goodwill, and power of Jesus, and especially in the Word of Jesus, waiting for it. Waiting for His Word as that leper did, and also as the centurion did. A lesson in healing, a lesson of salvation. Very simply, salvation by faith in Christ. Salvation that is for all people. First, we're confronted with the leper in the gospel, the man who was infected with that terrible, ugly skin disease and forced to live in isolation from everyone else. Now, God uses those outward physical things, sometimes physical maladies, to teach us about inner spiritual things. We'll see the very same thing in reference to the centurion in a moment. Leprosy portrays on the outside what is true for all men by nature on the inside. We are all born with ugly, rotting, diseased souls. The sores that this man wore on the outside of his body are symbolic of the sores that we all bear on the inside, not the kind of sores that come from injuries when other people do us harm. No, these sores come from our own spiritual disease, from hearts that are turned inward as we look out for ourselves first, chasing after whatever we can get for ourselves, clinging to whatever we can keep for ourselves, getting angry about any injury that we see others committing against ourselves, and turning our own reason into divine truth, turning ourselves into our own gods. That's what we look like on the inside. That's how we're wired by nature. And leprosy was an object lesson in that, in sin, and specifically in original sin. The leper's leprosy called out to him 24/7, 365. He couldn't get away from it. You are unclean. Your imperfections are not just skin deep. You are diseased from within. You are not worthy to enter God's presence or be with God's people. And what his leprosy called out to him all the time, it also called out to everyone who encountered him. What I am on the outside, you are too on the inside. But the kindness and goodness of Jesus and the signs and wonders he had been doing in Israel, even the great Sermon on the Mount that he had just finished preaching, also called out to the leper and to everyone in Israel. There is one who can help. There is one who can heal both on the inside and on the outside. There is one whose word can make you clean. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. That gospel, that good report about Jesus, worked faith in the leper's heart. Faith already so solid, so steady, that he knew without a doubt that Jesus could help him, could make him clean. And faith so simple and childlike that he could phrase his petition so humbly, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He yielded himself entirely to the goodwill of Jesus. And he rested all his hope on the word of Jesus, waiting expectantly on that word. And of course, he wasn't disappointed. I am willing. Be cleansed. And that's why Jesus came in the first place, to show the goodwill of God in his own person, with every word and every deed, to teach men that they are unclean and lost, but that he had been sent to find them, to save them. During those brief years of his life on this earth, really during the very brief 3 years of his ministry, Jesus gave men a taste of his goodness, a sign of his goodwill, and he refused no one, because the whole point was to show mankind that faith in Jesus is all that's required to be healed, to be saved. Physical healing pointed to all the healing, both spiritual and physical, that Jesus now does and will do on the day of the resurrection of the dead. But tell no one, Jesus instructed the leper. Go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why tell no one? Because while the testimony of the leper all by itself would be good, the testimony of Moses, God's servant whom he had sent, and the testimony of the law of Moses would be even greater. It was the law of Moses that condemned the leper as unclean and that isolated him from God's house and God's people. But now, the law of Moses could no longer condemn him as unclean, because the law of Moses had been satisfied. The sin, the uncleanness had been erased. The leper had been cleansed of his leprosy. The sinner had been cleansed of his sins by faith in Christ Jesus. The testimony of the law of Moses was important. Jesus didn't come to say, "Oh, the law of Moses, don't worry about that old thing, it doesn't matter." No, he came to fulfill the law. And so he was given by God the right to forgive the sins that the law pointed out, to cover the sins that the law pointed out with his own blood, to justify the ungodly by faith in him, to cleanse the unclean by faith in him. That testimony was worth 1,000 words. The unclean are no longer unclean when they believe in Jesus. Salvation is by faith. The kindness and the goodwill of Jesus and the word of his promise of salvation by faith have brought you here into the Holy Christian Church. You who have been baptized in the name of Jesus have received his cleansing. Baptism hasn't removed the disease of original sin, but it has removed sin's power to condemn you before God when you believe in Jesus. And one day, when Jesus comes again, you will have that uncleanness removed from your flesh too, along with all uncleanness, as the leper did. First the physical, first the spiritual healing of the forgiveness of sins, then the complete spiritual and physical healing at the last day. Now you, God's baptized children, may ask him for help too, just like the leper did. And certain things God has already told you in his word he will always do. You already have his word about many things, like that he will hear your prayers, like that he will forgive you your sins, like he will give you the fruits of his Spirit. In other things, he hasn't told you what he is willing to do or not do in this life. So what then? Well, instead of trying to bargain with God, as some people do, if you'll do this thing for me, then I'll, whatever it is you promise that you'll now do, as if you could buy God's favor with your promises. Instead of that, entrust all to his goodness like the leper did, to his power, to his good and gracious will, and pray the humble prayer that the leper prayed. If you are willing, you can, whatever it is, and then really and truly leave it to his goodness and to his wisdom, whether or not to grant that specific request. If you are willing, you can. But if not, so be it. Thy will be done. Now the leper was a son of Israel, and he demonstrated faith in Jesus and was saved by that faith. Next we come to the Gentile, to the Roman centurion. Outwardly, he was not a son of Israel, not a son of Abraham at all. He hadn't grown up in Israel. He hadn't had lifelong access to the Word of God. And there's a lesson in that too. Even that outward separation that God himself had made between Jew and Gentile was God's way of teaching an important spiritual truth. There is a vast difference, a separation between God's people and the rest of the world, between the righteous and the wicked, between those who live on the inside of God's kingdom and those who live on the outside of it, between the saved and the unsaved. So who gets to be included in God's people and on what basis? See what happens in our gospel. During his period of service in the Roman army, serving in Israel, the Roman centurion had heard the gospel, the good report about Jesus. And it gave him such confidence in the power and greatness of Jesus that he already knew for a fact that whatever Jesus spoke carried the full power and authority of God. He knew that Jesus could grant any request with no trouble at all. And he knew that even though he wasn't worthy to have Jesus come under his roof, yet he was still able to approach Jesus without fear. Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith. Most of God's people, Israel, hadn't believed in Jesus at all. Some in Israel, like the leper, did have faith in Jesus and were saved by him. But no one in Israel had shown such complete trust in Jesus' word and authority as this Roman centurion had, even though he was not part of God's people by nature, by birth. As Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And then what lesson does Jesus go on to teach? "I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here Jesus opens wide the kingdom of God to the Roman centurion, to the Greeks who would seek him, to the Ethiopian eunuch who would seek him, even to us Americans, to all who will believe in him as the Son of God, to all who will trust in him for healing and salvation, showing that salvation is not about the family you're born into, the race you're born into, or the works that you do, or the sins that you've committed. Forgiveness, salvation has been won for all and is given to all through faith in Christ Jesus, no matter where you come from. And Jesus describes the blessedness of being in God's kingdom, sitting down like at a banquet table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where everyone is equal, everyone is happy, everyone is blessed. Not on the basis of the works they did in this life, but only on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus, who paid for their sins. At the same time, he excludes from his kingdom all who will not believe, who will scorn him and disobey his word and not believe it. including those who were physically born to the people of Israel. And he describes the sorrow and the raging anger of all those who will be cast out forever into the darkness. So in short, salvation is by faith in Christ, and that salvation by faith is for all people. You were right to come to Jesus for the cleansing of holy baptism. You're right to keep coming to Him for help, for mercy, for forgiveness, and for strength. Trust in Him. Trust in His Word. And as long as you continue to live in this fallen world, with all its ugliness and wickedness, which we witness all the time and witnessed again on display in the protests on Friday at the inauguration, and yesterday in those disgusting women's demonstrations promoting the murder of infants, and in the continual ugliness on social media. Remember that as those who have been saved by faith in Christ and included in God's people, you have a responsibility to the people of this world who are not God's people, because God would have them saved by faith too. Salvation by faith is for all. His Word is powerful to convert sinners from unbelief. But as we preach the Word of Christ, and as you live as Christians, let us also be careful to live according to the Word of Christ. Take the Apostle's words today in the Epistle to heart and take them with you. Repay no one evil for evil. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God give you strength and wisdom to put those words into practice. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.